X-Talks connects professionals in the life science, medical device, and food industries with useful content like webinars, job openings, articles, and virtual meetings to help you succeed in your career. This Food Industry Focus podcast brings together some of our editorial staff to share insights into the latest B2B industry news to help keep you up to date. This week on the show, we are discussing the CDC stating that you can take the flu and COVID shots at the same time and an oral pill that cuts the risk of COVID hospitalizations in half. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the X-Talks Food Podcast. I'm Sydney Perlmutter, food industry journalist and webinar moderator at xtalks.com, and this week I'm joined by Aisha Rashid and Sarah Hand. Thanks for coming today. So I'm going to start us off with a story about Seven Shifts, which is a employee scheduling and management software whose CEO and founder I interviewed last week. So I've never personally done this, but I know just from people telling me that opening a restaurant is not easy. There's a lot that goes into it in terms of the preparation and testing, creating a menu, choosing a location, hiring and training the staff, and a lot more. But maintaining it once it's already open can be just as difficult since the food service industry is one of the most competitive sectors in the world. And tasks as simple as scheduling employees or distributing directives to staff can be time-consuming for managers, and it can also be efficient if there isn't a consistent method of doing so. So Seven Shifts, like I mentioned, is an employee scheduling and management software. It was created to solve that issue and also help restaurant managers save time and money and allow them to stay in control of their business. So I spoke to the founder and CEO, Jordan Bosch, to learn a bit more about the startup story and the evolution of the company, as well as the future of the restaurant industry. So it was created, just by seeing the problem firsthand. It came about after Bosch witnessed his father trying to schedule employees at his multiple Quiznos locations in Saskatchewan, Canada. And, you know, he mentioned things like employees would call in last minute to cancel, or they would, you know, want to switch their shift with someone else. And it felt like, he said, it almost undid all of the hard work that his father was doing in terms of trying to build out the optimal schedule and trying to incorporate everyone's feedback into it. So just from witnessing that, he kind of made it his goal to learn how to write code and build his father something better. So Seven Shifts was kind of born right then and there. And at first, it was just a platform in which his father could upload a spreadsheet and staff could all log into the website and download it. And then after high school, this all took place when he was in high school still, he moved away to attend university, and he was still operating Seven Shifts on the side for his father. But once he finished school, Bosch expanded his coding skills and worked as a web developer, and he started rewriting several aspects of Seven Shifts, as well as enlisting help from a friend to improve the design. And then he moved back to Saskatchewan, quit his software job to pursue Seven Shifts full-time. So he slowly built up a team of co-founders, and they moved to San Francisco and got into a tech accelerator, which was really cool. And they ended up getting many customers, and they learned a lot from that. And they raised about $150,000 and decided to move back to Saskatchewan so that they could work from there. Yeah, they really wanted to stay local. But much like X-Talks, actually, most of their clients are in the States, but they're also based in Canada. So back to their story, the team really hunkered down and focused the product to be solely for restaurants, and they ended up raising nearly $1 million in a seed round of financing. And they continued raising money and expanding the business and opened offices in Toronto and New York City, and they now employ over 200 staff across various locations, and they're still headquartered in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. So in terms of, if you were wondering how, you know, restaurants scheduled their staff before, this is what Jordan had to say about that and how they sort of differentiate themselves from their competitors.
So the process for scheduling, and it's still being done by, you know, over 50% of companies today, is they use Excel or they use Google Sheets or they use paper. Either way, they kind of print it out on a piece of paper. And so we tried to bring that online and accessible for the workers, and where you can kind of like trade and swap shifts. And so that was the initial pain point. And you know, how we do that today is really looks and feels similar to how they would do it on Excel. We just have more flexibility and functions as it relates to getting it out and making sure it's communicated, and you know, following up with folks that haven't checked it. And so just there are more checks and balances in place to ensure that people get their schedule. But it's really such a small part of the overall operations that a manager has to go through. So it's really important to connect all those other parts of the employee lifecycle, like we talked about. And also things like when these employees are working on their shift on the floor, they typically have tasks to do, and you know, they want to check off those tasks. And you know, we have an iPad app for that, or you can use your own mobile phone.
So as you heard, how managers used to do it is, you know, on paper or in Google Sheets. So, and like you said, half of businesses are still using this method. So by bringing scheduling online, 7Shifts has made it a lot more accessible for workers to do all the things that they would do before without causing the manager, you know, a lot of, you know, stress. So in terms of what it looks like to its users, when an employee gets hired at a restaurant, and if they use 7Shifts, they would receive a text or an email invitation to download the app and create an account. And from there, they would see interesting things that I didn't think, you know, you could see, like their estimated pay, hours, and tips as well. So Bosch called it a financial dashboard for restaurant workers. And employees primarily use the mobile app on their phones, but they also have it for iPad and computers as well. So since the restaurant industry employs the highest number of teenagers out of any private industry, they wanted to make it really a seamless experience and an easy-to-use interface that all employees could use. So they do have competitors, but Jordan mentioned that one of them is really old. It uses an old software, and then some of them are more horizontally focused, so they don't focus on restaurant-specific things, which is fortunate for them because, you know, when you're the first in the industry to do something, you're going to likely be successful. What sets 7Shifts apart from its competitors is that its features are restaurant specific. So they have task and tip management, and then they allow managers to also keep a pulse on their staff as well. So by focusing solely on restaurants, Jordan attributes that to one of the reasons that they became pretty successful in the space. And Bosch also said that the ultimate goal of the app is to retain employees for the entire employee life cycle. So that is from the moment that they are hired until the moment that they quit or are terminated. So the five elements that he touched on were hiring, training, scheduling, paying, and retaining. So the company wants to own and add value to those aspects for its operators. And right now, 7Shifts is solving team management and communication problems for over 500,000 restaurant professionals around the world, and about 85% of them are based in the U.S. So he told me that it works primarily with single-unit independent operators, but also to a lesser extent, mid-market and multi-unit locations. So since most single unit restaurants can't really afford, you know, they don't have a big software budget, 7Shifts provides an affordable and efficient alternative that requires really little to no setup time. And it's really seamlessly integrated into normal operations. So it offers everything from a plan to a free plan to appropriately named paid plans, including the appetizer, entree, the works, and gourmet, and which I thought was very, very cute. And they also, as you can imagine, collected and continue to collect a lot of data. And so this is what Jordan had to say about some of the data that they collected over the pandemic.
From the data we have, like some of it we've just made public, and obviously all anonymized, but made it public to talk about some of the trends that we were seeing during COVID and, you know, what places were doing well as it related to managing the pandemic and what they were doing and what sales were by various type of food establishment. As you can imagine, pizza did really well because everyone's, you know, getting takeout and delivery with pizza. But trying to identify trends where we can hone in and then use that data to help other operators navigate things like the pandemic. So that was one big example of a data set we had during the pandemic where we had kind of a live ticker of the amount of sales that were coming in through our point of sale integrations and just showing the impacts of COVID for various different types of restaurants.
So as you heard, they have collected a lot of data, and from that, they built a blog just to help operators make decisions around things that that Seven Shifts has learned about from working with sort of the best of the best in the industry. So Jordan just said, you know, he kind of closed out by saying it's really hard to operate a restaurant. So if we can make operations easier and focus on just making things really simple for operators, whether it's giving them a tool set or a set of frameworks that they can use to help their operations, we want to be able to provide that. So overall, it was a really interesting interview and cool to sort of hear about like the behind the scenes. I myself have never worked at a restaurant, so I didn't really know about this, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on this technology and if it makes you sort of think a little bit more, well, when you're going to a restaurant, like, oh, did this employee use, you know, an app to be here today? Or did they maybe swap with someone else on this app? Like, what are your guys' thoughts on this? And can you see it, you know, being sort of the future in the restaurant industry?
Yeah, I think it's high time, actually, that these kinds of technologies be applied in industries like the restaurant industry, because you always hear about, you know, temporary workers or casual workers and how difficult it can be to manage them with, as you know, you were saying, changing shifts and cancellations and keeping track of all of that. So, you know, I can't believe like they were still relying on like Excel sheets or pen and paper. And mm-hmm. So I think this is long overdue, since almost everything is on an app now, right? Like, it's just a better way to get organized. I've never worked in the restaurant industry either, but I did work in retail. And I remember, yeah, like, I mean, this is a long, long time ago, but yeah, we had very antiquated, you know, paper and pens and like the really old, like, the card swipes to sign in and out. And yeah. it just felt like so 70s. So I think this is really cool that, and I think, yeah, apart from the restaurant industry, like I was going to say, like, I think it could be used in all kinds of settings, like even retail or other, more casual type work, or even more professional level or in offices and things like that. I think it really has a lot of scope.
Yeah, I was initially surprised that something like this wasn't already available to restaurants. And then when you were talking about some of their competitors and how, you know, there are other solutions like this, but they're not focused on all of the challenges of specifically running like a food service outlet. I think that is a really smart differentiating factor for them. The fact that it focuses on managing tips and all that kind of stuff. I also wonder, you know, we're seeing right now with restaurants kind of opening up again for in-person dining. And I think, at least across the country here, I think it's the same thing in the U.S., they're really struggling to find workers. You know, everyone's sort of hiring at once. And I think there's multiple reasons for it. I think some people who were working in the restaurant industry before the pandemic have since retrained and are in another field of work. And I think some people are also hesitant to get back into working, let's say, as a server amid kind of unknowns about how long will this restaurant be open before the requirements or the regulations change and we need to close up shop again and I'm out of a job again. So I think that's, you know, obviously been a giant struggle for the restaurant industry. We've seen a lot of restaurants go under. I'm wondering, though, if restaurants who implement something like this are more likely to retain staff and maybe even attract staff to begin with, because it's so easy to see when you're working and change shifts and that sort of thing.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because Jordan talked about having sort of a job board as part of the app as well. Mm. So it's really great with the data that they collect. Each employee sort of has like a profile. It's akin to LinkedIn, sort of, where hiring can take place on the app as well. I think that's still in development, but that's what they're sort of working toward. Mm-hmm. And it's cool because there's all that data on the hours that they've worked and like their the manager's input and other things like that too. So you can get an idea of how someone works, and that can attract job opportunities. So it's like he said, he really wanted to take advantage of the full employee life cycle, and that job board is sort of part of it as well. But you're totally right. It would definitely make things easier for employees to have this, rather than either having to like call in or, it is long. It was definitely long overdue, like you said, Aisha. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really cool that like they have this job board kind of idea, because it also helps restaurant owners, right, to seek out talent and to seek out employees, which is really great. And it kind of reminds me of like TaskRabbit, I think. You can like go to it if you need some like small tasks to be done around the house, and you can just like, and then, everyone who's on it has reviews. And so it's like a whole network. And I think this is really great. That they have something like this that I think will help both restaurant owners as well as restaurant workers.
Totally agreed. And in other restaurant-related news, I wrote a piece last week about QR codes and their impact on sort of how restaurants have come back a little bit from the COVID-19 pandemic. So, restaurants experienced labor shortages, lack of revenue. Some of them had to close or adjust their operations. But now QR codes are kind of helping restaurants bounce back a little bit. So QR stands for quick response codes. They've actually been around since the mid-1990s, but they didn't really catch on for mainstream use in North America until pretty recently. They were sort of a one-off technology that maybe you would use once or two times a year to scan something. But now, with the pandemic, QR code use has kind of skyrocketed in the food service industry out of necessity. So in order to operate safely, a lot of food service players would implement QR codes to provide contactless delivery and digital menus. And restaurants that have chosen to implement them rely on consumers having smartphones and scanning capabilities, as well as their familiarity with the technology. So this is kind of why a lot of restaurants have held on to those physical menus as well. Because some consumers would rather use them. But since most of us do have smartphones, we can access the menus, prices, instructions, or schedules via QR codes, and kind of gives everyone a chance to live in a touchless world, or a world that only we touch. But with widespread reopening, a lot of restaurants are returning to their pre-pandemic operations, and QR codes are kind of shifting in terms of their use, and they're no longer used as primarily a safety solution, but rather they're used to leverage, customer loyalty, encourage reviews, and just improve overall engagement. And a few ways that they're doing that is, being able to not only access the menu, but also order and pay using QR codes. I actually went to a pop-up restaurant over the summer where you did all of those things through an app. And it was really cool. And I kind of liked it. They can also provide engagement and loyalty opportunities both inside and outside of the restaurant. And when I say outside of the restaurant, I mean you don't really even have to go into the restaurant. Some of them sometimes have QR codes on the outside of the restaurants that you can scan. And it also is just a digital opportunity to ask consumers for feedback. So as for food service workers, QR codes can also help them to work more efficiently and also limit their contact with customers. But there are other reasons to use QR codes, like tracking consumer behavior. So this is anything from basic information, like what a customer
purchased, as well as more complex tracing, like when, where, and how often QR codes are being scanned. And while this data is pretty valuable to restaurants, there are some potential dangers that consumers should look out for. Because QR codes are relatively easy to create and they're nearly indistinguishable from one another unless they're closely examined, scammers can actually create their own and place them in or around restaurants. In fact, the potential threat was serious enough that the Better Business Bureau provided a scam alert that informed individuals to watch out for fraudulent QR codes. And they said, these scams differ greatly, but they all have one thing in common. Scammers hope that you'll scan the code right away without taking a closer look. And in terms of knowing whether you're scamming a legit one rather than, you know, not a legit one, usually the QR codes on, you know, restaurant tables will have not just like the QR code. Sometimes it'll be like scan this, like they'll be a little bit more customized. And I've never personally got scammed at a restaurant, but I think that the danger of it would be higher if you were scanning a QR code on the exterior of a restaurant. So it may actually just be safer to go inside and make sure that you're scanning one that the restaurant has put there itself. But despite the risk posed by consumers, it seems like QR codes are pretty much here to stay in the food service industry for the foreseeable future. And since the pandemic is not yet behind us, a lot of businesses that have weathered the storm have a steep recovery ahead of them to make up for losses. And QR codes are really helping them do that by giving them a way to keep their tables filled. So creating more digital touch points with diners is a safe and strategic marketing tactic as well. And restaurants can advertise their offerings, drive repeat business, and ask consumers for feedback while at the same time also respecting diners and staff's preferences for minimal face-to-face interaction. So it's a win-win for both sides, for the consumers and the workers as well. So what are your thoughts on QR codes, and did you ever expect them to, you know, make such a big comeback, you know, in the restaurant industry?
Yeah, QR codes to me have always seemed kind of like a novelty, but never a necessity. And I feel like I don't, or at least pre-pandemic, didn't really encounter them enough to feel like I was using them all the time. And it usually felt easier to me if I was interested in kind of like finding out more about whatever I was looking at that had the QR code on it, to just like Google whatever it was. I'm not sure. I don't know why. I think I'd always have to like do a mental thing in my head to be like, oh yeah, open up my camera app, like scan the QR code. It should be something that's quick and easy, but it's for some reason felt like there was a block there. But I think it's just like such a smart use of this digital technology in restaurants to prevent them having to have the menus that need to be wiped down more often. You know, they're already doing so much more cleaning and sanitization in restaurants to keep everyone safe. So I think that's smart. And for like a long-term sustainability type thing, I think it's also really smart because menus at some restaurants will change frequently, and particularly restaurants that used to print out a page of like daily specials. I mean, that's such an incredible waste of paper. I've been to a few restaurants now that will have a QR code on the table and you scan it and like those are the specials for the day. And I think that's super smart. So yeah, I don't think I expected them to make this kind of comeback, but I think this particular application makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's great that they really thought about implementing it, and the pandemic certainly, you know, spurred a lot of these kinds of accelerated changes. And I think it's just the convenience of it, the fact that you're able to get the whole menu on your phone just by scanning a QR code. I think it's awesome. I just wonder, like, for let's say older demographics who may not be so tech savvy, would it be sort of exclusionary for them to be able to navigate? So I wonder how that'll play in. But or people who don't have cell phones, or younger kids, or, you know, there's so many other demographics that may not be as tech savvy. So
or have access to technology. So, but I think overall, it's really, really great. And I think it's all about convenience in today's day and age.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's a good point. That's tend to be the reason that restaurants still have some of those physical menus as well. You know, it's kind of similar to like reading a book versus like an ebook. No matter how old you are or who you are, some people just prefer the book. But I mm-hmm. think for the sake of just, you know, looking at a menu for 2 minutes, we can all do it on our phones if we have the capability and the knowledge. Mm-hmm. So I don't personally mind doing it, and I'm totally fine with it. But that's a great point too, Sarah, with the sustainability factor. That didn't even cross my mind. But it was just one of those like older technologies that was kind of just thrown to the side that I think it gained a lot of intrigue in its beginning years, and then as other cooler technologies came about, we sort of just like tossed it aside, and it's like we'll mm-hmm. use it when we have to, but now it's cool that that one of these older technologies is like made such a necessary comeback. Mm-hmm. I didn't personally think that you know, I didn't think too much of it. It just seemed like the natural thing to do. And it's also easy to implement as well. That's the other thing. It doesn't really cost too, like, not any money to my knowledge to create a QR code. So it's really easy for restaurants to implement too. And I can see them sticking around for a while.
Yeah, I can see it being easier for sure. But I hear you too, Aisha, that's why we can't, I feel like with any new technology, you know, there's no one big shift to this is how we're all doing it now. There's no other option. It's always sort of a gradual thing. And then who knows, like to your point, Sydney, in the future, we will likely still see restaurants that have paper menus. I mean, there is sort of like a physical factor there that you're not getting with a phone menu. And something that we're all kind of used to. But I think more and more seeing this, as, especially in certain types of food service outlets, I think it really works for people.
All right. Well, that's the end of this episode of the X Talks Food Podcast. If you like today's show, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Thanks, everyone, and see you next week. Bye.
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 Thanks for listening to the X Talks Food Industry Podcast. If you enjoyed our discussions today, please share the episode with your friends and colleagues, and be sure to subscribe in order to be notified when a new episode is released. To join in on the discussion, you can find X-Talks on social media, email podcast@xtalks.com, or comment on the articles directly. Links are in the show description. Take a moment to join our community at xtalks.com to get access to everything we have to offer, including webinars, job listings, virtual meetings, articles, and more. The views and opinions expressed in the podcast are those of the speakers sharing them. They should not be taken as professional advice and do not necessarily reflect the policy or position Honeycomb Worldwide. For further information, email us at podcast@xtalks.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.